station should use. Mike is only 120 miles away, but was getting extremely good reception, SINPO all fives. At least around our latitude, 36 north or beyond, it's the season for medium wave DX by Skywave in the middle of the day. See what you can hear around local noontime, especially around the top end of the band. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to reach active levels December 10th and 29th, with ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4 due to coronal hole high-speed stream effects. Lesser peaks of 10 and 3 expected on December 30th, January 3rd and 4th. Otherwise, during the following month, ANK indices of only 8 and 3 or 5 and 2. Solar flux 68 until bumping up to 70 starting December 23rd. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1960.
This is Jerry Only of the Misfits. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Hudson.
Thursday, December 13th, tune in to special programming on WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, hear Diane Randall, the Executive Secretary of the Friends Committee on National Legislation, and her recent stop in Albany at the Albany Friends meeting chapter. WOOC's Steve Pierce also speaks with Jim Bonesteel and Jamie George of the Rensselaer Youth Outdoors Group. Robin Michalecki, a chronic pain patient and patient advocate, speaks with Heather Martin on a medical freedom segment. Former NFL player Rashad Barksdale, who grew up in Hudson, talks about his It's Okay to Dream Foundation with Vern Cross and Kamal Johnson from 9 to 11 a.m. Thursday morning. Seth Rich is in with Timeless Vibes, orchestral, instrumental, and soundtrack music at 11 a.m. 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, where Individual One and The Guardians is the subject this week. Then there's time for Donald Trump Theater at 3 o'clock, one way or another. The Radia Show visits with Stas Renko from Radio Student in Luania, Slovenia, at 3:30 p.m. on the radio at WGXC. At 4 p.m., Bruce Frischkoff of Citizens Climate Lobby will discuss the organization's carbon fee and dividend program. And at 6 p.m., the Eating in the Hudson Valley segment on the All Together Now show features host Phyllis Segura talking with Paul Sturmer, the director of the Food Bank of the Hudson Valley, and Holly Shelowitz of Nourishing Wisdom. At 8 p.m., Bobby Previtt is live with his Blueprints show at High Low in Catskill, and live on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC. WGXC Live, Thursday night with Bobby Previtt's Blueprints, live from High Low in Catskill on the radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by High Low Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from High Low every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, High Low live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media.
Columbia County officials have put forward a $156.5 million preliminary budget for 2019, including a 1.7% tax levy increase. The tax increase would average $6 more per $1,000 of assessed property value. The property spending plan includes a 1.4% decrease in general fund appropriations and increased spending in solid waste, county road, and machinery management. Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matthew Morrell said, and I quote, "The largest increase in cost is for insurance for employees. That accounts for almost $10 million," end quote. The county is proposing a 7.9% increase in the county road fund to $14.2 million, a 10.6% increase in spending on roads and bridges, and a 6.5% increase in snow removal of county-owned roads, including $100,000 more for salt. The debt service on the road fund will increase 25% and include nearly $500,000 in interest payments. Spending on solid waste will go up 9%, including an increase in personal expenditure to allow for the hiring of new employees at the county's transfer stations. The county will contribute a total of $4.3 million to fund Columbia Green Community College next year, plus an additional $2 million for the school's capital project. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors will conduct a public hearing on the preliminary budget before the full board votes on the spending plan, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, December 12th, at 401 State Street in Hudson. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. U.S. Representative John Faso said December 11th that while the payment of hush money to two women who claimed to have had affairs with Donald Trump was, and I quote, reprehensible, end quote, he does not believe the president broke campaign finance laws in the process. The Kinderhook Republican said information about the payments from federal prosecutors in the case against former Trump attorney Michael Cohen do not rise to the level of impeachment. Faso said, and I quote, "It's highly speculative as to whether those payments, reprehensible as the entire matter was, I think it's a stretch to say that it violated federal campaign finance rules," end quote. Prosecutors said Cohen admitted acting, and I quote, "in coordination with and at the direction," end quote, of then-candidate Trump when the payments were made in the summer and fall of 2016, and that the payments were meant to influence the presidential election. Faso, who lost his re-election bid in November to Democrat Antonio Delgado of Rhinebeck, is not convinced that Special Prosecutor Counsel Robert Mueller has successfully drawn a direct correlation between the Trump campaign and Russian government officials. Faso has asked for the Mueller investigation to be concluded quickly, but the congressman acknowledged this week that there are many questions about the matter still unanswered. Delgado could not be reached for comment. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting both U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and U.S. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney have announced their support of the conference report to the 2018 Farm Bill. Gillibrand said the bill contains most of the elements that she wanted. She said, and I quote, "It protects the SNAP program and rejects the housework requirement that would have made a mass of paperwork for a lot of families and the benefit cuts they had. It improves the dairy insurance program by increasing coverage and lowering premiums," end quote. Maloney is supporting the bill because, and I quote, "it maintains the progress we made for the Hudson Valley in the 2014 Farm Bill and even makes improvements in key areas," end quote. And you can read that full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Rick Collin is reporting for the Times Union. The leaders of New York's more than 500 Catholic schools say they will boycott a new review system in which local public school officials would inspect parochial schools and determine whether they offer a substantially equivalent education. The recently enacted guidelines from the State Education Department require local public school officials to inspect non-public schools, including Catholic and other private schools, to ensure that students are exposed to the same basic topics such as English and math that are covered in public schools. Under the new guidelines, after local officials conclude the private or parochial school is offering a substantially equivalent education, the local school board must then approve the findings in a vote.
James Colterra, executive secretary of the State Council of Catholic School Superintendents, said, and I quote, "The parents who choose our school can have great confidence in the academic rigor of our schools," end quote. But he added, and I quote, "We simply cannot accept a competing school having authority over whether our schools can operate," end quote. The Catholic superintendents have outlined their concerns in a series of letters over the past year, including one on December 5th, to State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Ela. State Education Department officials said they are reviewing the letters, but offered no additional comment. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Next, we have these reports.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hey, I'm Laura Schindel from Food and Water Watch.
We are in the, I guess it's known as the War Room in the State Capitol building. Why are we here today?
We're here today to deliver over 100,000 signatures to Governor Cuomo, asking him to fully ban fracking in the Delaware River Basin, which is a drinking water source for millions of people. We want that fracking ban to include fracking waste in the ban, so no storage or disposal or transportation of fracking waste, which is extremely hazardous and harmful in that crucial watershed.
And why is this happening now?
The governors that make up the Delaware River Basin Commission, so that's the governors of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, and as well as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, will all receive one vote on how to proceed with matters that apply to the Delaware River Basin. And they're considering a fracking ban, but the language currently doesn't include fracking waste for a ban. So we want to make sure it's a full ban so that the basin and the people who live downstream and everywhere that receives the water are protected.
Besides this, you guys are in regular contact with Governor Cuomo. I know that you have a long-standing effort called Call Cuomo Mondays. How is that going?
Call Cuomo Mondays just had its one-year anniversary, and we have just surpassed over 10,000 calls made to the governor, all about fracking infrastructure projects in New York State that he has the authority to stop, that we're calling on him to do so. Every week we call Governor Cuomo, and two demands stay the same: reject all fossil fuel infrastructure and move New York to 100% renewable energy. But every week we highlight a different project and a different frontline community fighting that project. And it's really demonstrated the breadth of proposals that New York State is facing. And it's also been a great way to bring awareness from different parts of the state that are fighting similar projects to each other's battles. So we're thrilled to say we've reached over 10,000 calls on our designated number, 877-235-6537. And I think it's going pretty well.
About how many different projects have you called him about?
There's about 20.
And do you know how those have proceeded at this point? Of those 20, have any of them been canceled or otherwise delayed?
The proposal to store gas at Seneca Lake was stopped, which is a huge victory for the folks fighting up there. Call Cuomo Mondays was just one small tactic in a much bigger span of activism. But also the Williams Pipeline proposed for New York Harbor, that got delayed at least a year. The permit for it was denied on procedural reasons, but it slows that all down. And everything else is still an ongoing fight, unfortunately. But it's all about building momentum and power, and this is, you know, one tactic among many to do that.
What are some of the big ones that you guys are focused on right now?
Well, the Danskammer power plant proposed for the town of Newburgh in the Hudson Valley would be a large fracked gas power plant, and it has not yet received permits from New York State, so there's still opportunity to make sure we stop it. And it's still in the early stages, so we're optimistic about that. And the Williams Pipeline that I mentioned a moment ago in New York Harbor. Most of the projects in New York State are seeming, anyway, now to be a lot of power plants, so we're focused on Cricket Valley and CPV, and there's also the emerging issue of bomb trucks transporting fracked gas. In the absence of pipelines transporting the gas, they are transporting them with in highly compressed trucks, which, you know, is problematic. But there's a whole slew of issues to keep New Yorkers on their toes. But that's why we want Governor Cuomo to say no to all of it instead of a piecemeal approach to reject fracking infrastructure, period.
Is he, in theory, able to stop these, or does that rest more with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission or some other agency?
He has the authority to stop them. I'm sure, as with anything, the energy companies, you know, would try to fight it in court, but he, the same way he had the authority to ban fracking, he controls the Department of Environmental Conservation, which gives the permits to the projects, and so we're calling on him to prioritize New Yorkers' safety and well-being and say no to the fossil fuels that are driving climate change, that pose risks to us in New York, where the infrastructure would exist, but also in Pennsylvania, where the extraction happens.
Do you have a sense with the changeover in the legislative branch in New York after this election cycle that anything is going to change on that front?
It's a great question. I guess time will tell. There is a piece of legislation that will be reintroduced that existed in past sessions, didn't move because of the Republican majority in the Senate, that would, in effect, make a moratorium on all fracking infrastructure. Whether that bill could move this year or not, I guess, will remain to be seen. But we're hopeful that the strong incoming legislature will rally with their constituents that are impacted by these projects in pressuring Governor Cuomo to act. You know, even if they don't have authority to make the decision themselves, they're speaking out about it and asking Governor Cuomo to stop the projects, I think, would mean a lot.
During the wave of anti-fracking activity in New York, prior to Governor Cuomo calling for a ban, I think that happened in 2014, but let's say that the height of it in 2012, what is the atmosphere today in terms of activism and public participation in these issues?
Well, I think it's growing. I think after the fracking ban, it waned a little bit. Everybody, you know, needed a rest for good reason, and there was a huge victory to celebrate. But I think the fractivists, as they're called, have woken up and are getting engaged again. And that was one of the biggest benefits of Call Cuomo Mondays, because it was a way to re-engage fractivists and let them know that the fight isn't over and that all these different projects around the state exist and are harmful. And I know during the fracking fight, people would say there should be no sacrifice zones. And I think, you know, that sort of language is coming back and people are remembering we've got more work to do.
Are there any other projects that you want to put out for the public to know about?
Well, since I'm in Albany right now in the war room, there's a proposal to power the Empire State Plaza, which is our Capitol building complex, with a fracked gas power plant in a poor neighborhood just a few blocks away from the Capitol, a neighborhood called Sheridan Hollow that had already previously been poisoned by a trash incinerator plant in the 90s, which was shut down. They're still recovering from the poison that was in their air then that caused many people to be sick and even die. And so we think it's an egregious proposal to resurrect that site for a fracked gas power plant to power our Capitol buildings. So we're also fighting that.
Where does that stand at this point?
That's a great question. There was no action on this part of New York State, and we attributed that to the election season, that they would just kind of lay low while elections happened and not try to push it forward. Now that elections are over. We still haven't heard anything. The New York Power Authority claimed to be considering renewable alternatives after much advocacy from the community and from statewide environmentalists, but we haven't. We're still waiting and seeing, and we want to make sure that whatever quote-unquote renewable solution that they may have isn't just a couple solar panels slapped onto a fracked gas power plant, that it's truly a renewable solution that, you know, New Yorkers can be proud of. We should be a model for the country, the capital of New York State.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Laura Schindel with Food and Water Watch. I'm Dave Pablo for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The rapid growth of wind and solar power in New York means expanding jobs in another field, energy storage technology. And a new report says many of the pieces are already in place. The Empire State has ambitious plans to expand clean energy sources like solar power and offshore wind. Today, the New York Public Service Commission is scheduled to issue an order on how to deploy more energy storage around the state. According to the New York Jobs Project report, energy storage technology has the potential to create more than 27,000 jobs in the state by 2030. But report co-author Kate Ringness says that will depend on creating strong policies to ensure that local demand is met with locally manufactured products.
It's not enough to just say that the state is going to create these deployment goals for energy storage. You need to look at the ecosystem as a whole if you want to get those manufacturing jobs to the state.
The report offers policy recommendations to increase local manufacturing and create good-paying jobs as plans move forward. Ringness points out that New York State already is home to almost 100 energy storage companies, universities doing major research on this technology, a battery prototyping center, and more.
To have a lot of these great fundamental building blocks of an ecosystem for energy storage that help support the state's commitment to deploying more of this.
New York's clean energy standard calls for getting 50% of its power from renewable sources like wind and solar by the year 2030. Ringness says deploying energy storage technology and infrastructure will be key to meeting that goal.
Energy storage is the bank for electricity. So it is the absolutely critical piece for integrating renewables into the grid.
For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
Turn out, tune in, and ring in the new year with WGXC live at the Half Moon in Hudson. Come out for the annual fun at one of the busiest New Year's celebrations in the area. This year, things get started at 8 p.m. with karaoke hosted by Amanda Lees, followed by dancing to the music of the band Blueberry. And then, after midnight, DJ Vaugh from WGXC's Friday Night Vibe session keeps the airwaves and the dance floor moving. The sliding scale contribution at the door helps keep WGXC on 90.7 FM in the new year. The Taste of India food truck will also be there, with a portion of their food sales going to benefit WGXC. And the entire event will be broadcast live on 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, the 13th, work developed over the past 3 months by urban design students from Columbia University is displayed in Hudson Valley Visions in Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Join us Friday, December 14th, for Kath Bloom and Aisha Burns at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts at 7 p.m. Reverend Ronald Grant will be at Club Helsinki Hudson with an evening of sacred seasonal jazz beginning at 8 p.m. Lord Youth and Nick Pankin play at Hilo in Catskill at 8:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, the 15th, the City of Hudson Senior Center and Hudson Area Library will host Watercolor with Your Grandperson from 1 to 4 p.m. at Hudson Area Library. Ankrum Opera House's storytelling series, Real People, Real Stories, returns with the theme, The Kindness of Strangers, at 3 p.m. at the Ankrum Opera House. A Kwanzaa celebration will be held from 3:30 to 5 p.m. in Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House. Speed Sisters screening with potluck at 6 p.m. and film at 7 p.m. at the Old Chatham Quaker Meeting House. Babel Gilberto performs at the Egg at the Empire State Plaza at 8 p.m. And High Time performs at the Half Moon in Hudson at 8 p.m. And then finally, on Sunday the 9th, Folk Tales and Stories Hour with Pamela DeBia is at 2 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. The Blythewood Ensemble will play from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. in Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House. Katie Mullins, Will Stratton, and Alexander Turnquist will be at the Half Moon in Hudson beginning at 7 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXE Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's the song Wanna Be There from the group Blueberry. It's playing at WGXC's New Year's Eve extravaganza at the Half Moon in Hudson.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra. Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.